Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour. It is for September 14th, 2017. Tonight is a recap of the past week's activity, not the least of which Hurricane Irma, in which I was in Florida at the time. I was actually coming back into the U.S. from an assignment that I was on, and my assignments are self-induced, by the way. Something that I won't be talking about quite yet. That'll come in the future. But being in Florida at the time, so I watched Hurricane Irma form, and this was an entirely man-made storm. There were no solar conditions at all that would form this, and of course, hurricanes do not form from warm water. That is a total myth. There was the entire Earth was quiescent at that time, just quiet as could a church mouse. And all of a sudden, then there's a second Hurricane Jose, but also the acceleration, the accelerated development of Hurricane Irma was beyond anything that would be even normal under normal conditions. They had ran that baby up to a Category 3, then 4, then 5 very quickly. And the idea was to develop as much water in that storm as possible. And at that point, they were already predicting its path along the north coast of the Greater Antilles, which would be Puerto Rico, what they call Hispaniola, it's really Dominican Republic, and Haiti, then Cuba. And then at that point, they were already predicting it would make a right turn in the so-called European and U.S. models. What a bunch of garbage. I can't believe the garbage they pawn off on you, the public. And these announcers, I watched various channels, but as I was traveling and caught up in the milieu of this escape, this evacuation from Florida, I watched CNN. They had Anderson Cooper. They had they pulled out all the stops. Oh, this is going to, you know, be the end of Florida. Everybody has to evacuate. It's very clear that Irma was designed to evacuate all of Florida and to destroy it and to kill anybody that was remaining there. A lot of people, a lot of people stayed. And they didn't believe, the common person does not believe the government. Let me repeat that. The common man, now these are Floridians, these are people who are retired, these are people who are working, these are doctors, attorneys, professionals, common laborers, do not trust the government. And Governor Rick Scott, I'll be making an honorable mention about him. What a controlled puppet. When I saw him reading his scripts and with a entourage of Homeland Security and FEMA people behind him, it was very clear that this was a controlled operation, and he was the point man to tell all Floridians to evacuate. And so I was a bit under duress there, but I experienced the evacuation. I went on John Moore's show on Wednesday, and I said, hey, the gas stations are empty. Somebody has to call his governor and tell him to get his act together. He had already called a state of emergency. But he didn't do anything. called a state of emergency. And then what, Gov Ricky, with your little Navy hat on? I mean, come on, the guy looked like a doofus trying to announce that there was an emergency. And then he didn't do anything. All the gas stations emptied out. I mean, then there were lines. I experienced this. I saw it all over, and I got the word back from other people, that, yeah, within the first 6 hours after that was clear that Hurricane Irma was directed to Florida, the gas stations were empty, and they had no plan to bring more gas in to fill up the gas station so all these people could get out. Florida, Houston, California, New York, all of these places need evacuation plans that are orderly. I went out of Florida on back roads, which were completely empty, and the main traffic stayed on 75, which is the central corridor out of Florida, and 95, which goes along the east coast of Florida, were packed. It was wall-to-wall, stop-and-go traffic. And all of the back road corridors should have been just opened up for northerly traffic, or at least some of them, so that you had two lanes northerly traffic blocking off the entrances, and simply to get that flow of traffic out of there. And just imagine all the gas that was wasted by the stop-and-go traffic. Absurd, you know. And the northern counties, once it was clear that, I mean, the absurdity of calling an evacuation for the southern counties first. Now imagine this. You know, it takes you a good day to drive from southern Florida, Miami, Dade County, Naples, the Keys. The Keys had already been evacuated, but a lot of people stayed. But it takes a good day to drive, or, you know, a good 8-10 hours, I imagine, to drive from Miami up to northern Florida. And so then what they do is they don't call any evacuation for northern Florida until much later. But when the people start leaving, the people are like, well, we're just getting out of here. They're dumping onto the freeway as this massive wave of traffic comes up from the south. Absolutely no planning at all. Governor Rick Scott, you know, kick him around the block a few times, please, for me. And then he gets on, and he just looked like a complete doofus. But reading a script, who wrote his scripts? That's what I would like to know. And CNN, the same thing. They had, it was very clear. Of course, CNN is the CIA news agency. The CNN was purchased after the first Gulf War. If you remember, George Bush Sr. and Saddam Hussein were both watching CNN, which was Ted Turner's private news network at the time, a really very good news network, something we desperately need today. And but demanding the evacuation of all of Florida, that, oh, you're going to die here. So I'll give you a recap of what happened with Irma. And then Jose, this is another story in itself. This Hurricane Jose strikes up the band immediately after Irma and starts developing into a category hurricane immediately. There were no conditions. There were no physical conditions for these storms to generate. And on the, what was it? Let me look at the notes here. The 9th of September, well after these storms were developed, there was an X8, or some people say X9, solar flare with a CME that was mildly Earth-directed, which gave a few pulses of G-class magnetic storms. But on the 13th, and so, you know, well after the storms, you have to understand that when a geomagnetic storm erupts on the sun or a CME, it's days before it gets here. So it didn't affect Earth literally until yesterday, long after all of this was over. So people have asked me, can I comment on the solar flares? Well, they had no effect on Irma. Irma by that time was up in Tennessee, you know, had gone through Georgia. And by the way, that was another point, that Georgia, they wanted all of Georgia to be evacuated. As I came out of Florida and up around Atlanta, the traffic was unloading from Savannah, from the coastal cities of Georgia. So the government called for the evacuation of the coastal. First, they called for the coastal regions of Georgia, and then the storm track moved westerly up towards Atlanta, and they were saying Atlanta was going to have to evacuate. But there was no way. I mean, there's no way in the world that Atlanta could evacuate. And Georgia, the moron governor there, made no conditions for this massive wave of Floridians who were evacuating from Florida. We're estimating that there were 30 million people in evacuation mode. It was horrific. And no gas. They had not planned in Georgia to accept this wave of would-be refugees from Florida. I mean, in terms of government planning, let's put it this way, there was none. It was emergency mode, reactionary planning, if you want to call it that, but they didn't take the necessary steps to assure that the people had gasoline, had water, had the necessities, or bring in more food for these people, or tell the hotels to come into some kind of a system where they could call in and say if they were full or if they had extra rooms. The rooms were filled 2 to 3 states outside of Florida. And then they called for the evacuation of Alabama and of course, Georgia and the Carolinas. They wanted to evacuate this entire region of the country for major. They were expecting Irma to understand this is a controlled storm. They thought they could drive this all the way up through Georgia and into the Carolinas, into Tennessee, into Alabama, because this was a storm. If you looked at Hurricane Andrew, for example, Hurricane Andrew, looking at the coverage of Andrew, Irma was a good 4 times the coverage in terms of land mass or ocean surface area coverage. And of course, it was a Category 5 hurricane, and you could see the eye of Irma being stretched and pulled. And the news media comes out, this was hilarious, they go, a double eye reformation activity. And they said, that's when the storm increases in power. Well, hey, you know, this is the satellite lasers doing their job. So what I'm saying is there was a corroboration for the first time ever of news media, the fake science news weather media, to corroborate somehow, excuse or give an excuse or some kind of this is normal explanation for the fact that the eye wall of the hurricane is being stretched out. Now go to my webpage at the very top, jmccsci.com, and I give you an example, a perfect example of how the news media, this is a clip from a news media page, and you see the eye wall stretching out in the northwest direction, and they're saying this is double eye wall reformation, and then they go, that's when the hurricane gains strength. Well, gee, that's when the satellite laser is working on it. And Irma zigzagged along this path, so they had it so that it never had landfall, except for the very small Virgin Islands, which were nothing. They were like a dot on the ocean compared to the size of this hurricane. But they never brought it into Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Haiti, or Cuba. They kept it off that northern shore to keep maximum power to get as much water in that storm as it could. And then magically, it makes a right turn. Then they come out and they say there was a Bermuda high. Somebody's smoking pot at the Weather Channel, let me tell you this, which is, by the way, owned by the Rothschilds. The idea that there was a high pressure cell sitting just at the base of Florida that would cause this hurricane to make a 90-degree right turn. It was about a 70-degree right turn to come into Florida, come up the west coast of Florida. During the predictive modes of this, when it was still out over Puerto Rico and coming up towards Florida, there were 2 competing models. They said there was the European model and there was the United States model, as if just about made me throw up. But they both were a little bit different. One showed it coming up the center of Florida, and one showed it coming up the west coast of Florida. And I thought, you know, if they bring it up the center of Florida, it's gonna fizzle out very rapidly. And sure enough, they bring it up the west coast of Florida. And you could see them. The storm naturally wanted to turn into the peninsula of Florida. And then it kept going. Then they would pull it back west and get it back out to sea. Then it would try and swing in again. Then they'd pull it back out. It did this about 4 times as it came up the west coast to Tampa. And I had been in some of these areas, so I know people. I know people all over the country. So if there are events going on in Idaho, I can call people in Idaho. And so anyway, I had direct reporting. And by the time the storm got to Tampa, in fact, even is on the West Coast, all even in Naples, the storm had already lost most of its water. And the second technique that I developed when I worked with Russian scientists back in the 90s was a technique of dropping buoys offshore in the continental shelf as a hurricane would approach land. The continental shelf dropped buoys with metal chain and anchors and put the whole big grid of these, thousands of these things offshore, and then with a carbon fiber that goes up to a weather balloon, a very sturdy weather balloon. And what would happen is as the hurricane came in, it would short out to this continental shelf. And what happens, the reason a hurricane loses energy as it makes landfall, it's not because there's hills or buildings there. That's what the weather media was trying to pawn off, that, oh, the hurricane stops because there's buildings there. I don't think so. No, what happens is the hurricane shorts out electrically, and it loses its power because when it's over water, it has the ionized air is the part of the electric circuit. There's no ground there. There's nothing to electrically attach to. And so you basically, by putting these buoys out, you short it out. But the continental shelf along western Florida is so shallow that the hurricane was shorting out, and they could not keep the energy up. And as it loses power, the rain dumps out of the arms of the hurricane. So most of the water, they made this storm way too big. The majority of the water in this hurricane dumped very early as it came into southern Florida, probably as it was hitting the Florida Keys. Most of the water dumped out of this hurricane over water. And possibly over Cuba, so possibly as far as Havana was getting heavy rain. But the point is, it was a dry hurricane. There was no water in it. So as they brought it up the West Coast, imagine the difference in momentum in the wind. If it's saturated with water, 100% humidity with rain, driving rain, compared to dry air trying to whip around at 80 to 100 miles an hour. So there was, and it needs that water in the air in the hurricane to create the storm surge. It's that momentum that the Hurricane Irma did not have. So it lost its energy. They failed to destroy Florida. And in Tampa, there were people that were back to work the next day. The electricity didn't go out. And you notice, I've looked on CNN, after Hurricane Irma passed through Florida and went up through Georgia, and there was some rain and stuff, but the storm really did not have much rain in it. And so their effort to destroy these states, if you took the population of Georgia and Florida, Florida is the third most populous state behind California and Texas, with around, 20 million people, or 22 million, something like that. And in Georgia, with another 10 million, Georgia is a very populous state with Atlanta and a lot of big cities there. That would have been literally one-tenth of the U.S. population in refugee status. And that's what they were looking for. That's what they were gunning for. And they had the cooperation, the unwitting cooperation of Governor Rick Scott of Florida, and as I said, Homeland Security was there, but they must have had truckloads and truckloads of body bags waiting to clear the people out. We don't know how many people ended up in FEMA camps, and that's something I said, by the way, I was a guest on many shows over the past week. I was on a couple of special appearances on the Power Hour with Daniel Brigman, and then the John Moore Show. Of course, I'm there weekly, and I had a special appearance on the previous Friday with John Moore. And then I was on Alex Jones' show Yesterday it was a half an hour appearance. He extended it to an hour, so I had a full hour with Alex Jones on Tuesday. You might want to listen to that because that was a real interesting interview. We got into some detail about storms. That was at 1 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, with the Alex Jones Show. That was a video, that was a TV interview. And so anyway, I've had quite a few interviews over the past week. I have some other interviews coming up in the next week. I'll be on James Fitzer's show. The real deal is what he called it. Now he's calling it the raw deal. And so anyway, I don't know if James changed his show name, but this coming Tuesday, let me look at the time. It'll be 7:30 p.m. this coming Tuesday, September 19th, James Fetzer show. And then I have some international interviews that are coming up also that I'm not going to announce until we have those more finalized. But when people want to know about weather, weather manipulation, it's very clear. I'm the person they've always turned to, and it's still that way. So I'm very honored with that. But also, I put in my dues. I want to tell you something on the air. Of all of the work I've done, I've worked with the Russian scientists. I did all of this on my own nickel. I never had a government contract. I never had a paycheck. I never made money from this. I did this all paying my own way. When I go to American Geophysical Unions, I pay my own way. I'm not on some kind of government dole, or, you know, all those scientists there go there on your nickel, yours as taxpayers. I don't. I go on my nickel. And when I look at the things that I've done, and people recognize this, Alex Jones recognized it when I was on his show. He said, this guy's been around the block. And when I was on with a Power Hour with Daniel, he says, man, I don't know where you learned all that you've learned on all these various topics, but he said, you can talk on any topic and be at the top of the pack in information, and you're right on everything you're talking about. And that's because, let me tell you something, I've spent my life dedicated to seeking the truth, and I've had a very good background, very good education. I've traveled. I know where to go. I understand the history of science. And by the way, James Fitzer is his PhD is in the history of science, and he understands my work is relative to the history of science. So it's an honor for me to be on these shows, to be invited to many international venues besides the United States. But I put in my dues. I've done my homework. I'm not a government-paid crony scientist who says the right thing to get a paycheck and the retirement and so I can, you know, send the kids to college and pay the house payment. You know, I love it how people criticize me, the trolls on the internet criticize me for selling my books and water filters. I have my own water filter line, and it's the best in the world. Yeah. You know, and then they criticize you. And hey, these are people getting a government paycheck criticizing me for selling something so that I can manage my life the way I want to. Okay, so quickly I'm going to turn my attention to Hurricane Jose. Jose, following Irma, was originally supposed to hit. We didn't know. We didn't know if it would hit Florida or the Carolinas or go farther up and hit some of the major cities. They weren't predicting Jose. I mean, they had Irma predicted for a week out, going and turning and coming up Florida. But Jose, they were only predicting like 5 hours out. I was like, what's going on here? What's this? They got Irma predicted with the so-called models for, you know, a week out, and Jose 5 hours out. Well, they were holding Jose back to see the second punch, you know, like the 1-2 punch in a boxing match. Jose was going to be punch number two to damage the areas that Irma missed. Let's put it that way. And so by this time, my voice on national radio had pretty much resounded, and so people everywhere knew that these storms were manipulated and how they were manipulated, etc. And that's another thing I can do. I can be very, I can talk at a very high level, scientific level, with equations and diagrams and measurements, and I can talk to a level that the average person, anybody on the street, will understand. But Hurricane Jose did a loop-de-loop. It was coming, it went north, and then it went east, and then it went south, and then it went west, and now it's swinging up into the central Atlantic. But totally, go to any of the weather channels and look up the path of Hurricane Jose. This is a manipulated storm in action, swinging around, and they're like, where are we going to send this baby? And then I think they're getting the idea that they better not do this again, because I'm calling for arrest and prosecution of the people that are doing this. There's indications that Raytheon is involved in this, that they're integrally involved in the building and control of these satellites. So we have companies in the United States that built, manage, and control these. And, of course, they're under the deep state, what I would call the deep state. At any rate, Hurricane Jose, another completely manipulated storm. Now, after Irma, it was clear that, let me step back and talk about Harvey in Houston, another manipulated storm for maximum damage. That's what they were hoping for all of Florida. Now, why are they doing this? My read on this is that they have a series of natural disasters to take out the major populations of the United States and turn it into a refugee zone. Because Hillary lost the election, the American people are getting their country back, and they can't stand it. So this is their reaction. They're going deep like a slimy snake. They're going underground and still have control of these systems. So what other things could they do? They could bomb the Canary Islands underwater, cause an underwater landslide, which would send a tsunami that would basically go 50 or at least 50 miles inland all along the east coast of the United States with 6 hours warning. And that could be mitigated. All of these could be mitigated. Irma was a perfect example of a storm that should have been steered north into the central Atlantic out of harm's way. So all of these poor people in the Caribbean that were absolutely devastated, the little island in the Bahamas that was totally destroyed, this was totally unnecessary. This technology I developed to move these storms away from out of harm's way. So there was never any more landfall hurricanes. We had the technology, and it was taken over by the U.S. military in the late 1990s. They started sending up the laser satellites in the early 2000s. The Russian scientists went to the United Nations to demand a peace treaty and to prevent the weaponization of outer space, and specifically weather modification, weather control, because we knew that the U.S. military had these technology. They had put up the laser satellites, and they were preparing for what became the decade, and now two decades, of weather manipulation and control. The California drought was man-made and manipulated. They put up a high-pressure cell, and those storms would come in off the Pacific and just go straight line north and avoid California. So these are the kind of things that have been done with those laser satellites. I could go into a lot of detail in the evidence for this. Just as one example, we saw one time the Ghost West satellite went down, which covers California, and when they had a software upgrade, when they brought it back up online, they showed all of the chemtrails. They showed all of the weather manipulation and the laser satellite activity along the west coast of California. And we got it trapped on video. We were able to capture this. Then they shut it down and they brought it back up. And clearly what happened is in the new software upgrade, they had forgotten to activate the software, which removed all of the weather manipulation activity. So they had, we saw the activity coming off California, moving west out of the over the Pacific. They had forgotten to turn off the tracking of all this weather manipulation. So they have in the software for the GOES and other weather satellites, they have the ability to subtract out chemtrails, weather manipulation due to satellite lasers, other types of technologies, spraying, and other types of technologies for the control and manipulation of weather. They have the ability to subtract that out so you don't see it. The average person or the average weatherman would not see this. So you can see there's a layer, a complete layer above what is visible to the average person. And by the way, the weathermen today are news readers. They are not weathermen. They cannot ask questions because they simply don't have the ability. They're not scientists. They're simply weather readers. They read a script. They talk about they kept saying over and over again that Irma would go out to sea and would pick up energy from warm water. Complete baloney. Complete baloney, but that's what they feed you, the public. Okay, so let me go into a few other details. Just want to reiterate that the flaring that occurred on the sun was too little, too late. Irma had already, by the time on the 13th, those flares got to Earth, they created some auroral activity around in the very far north. But by that time, Irma was well into Georgia, Tennessee, and had lost all of its oomph, and really, so there was no corroboration, there was no energy contribution from these solar flares. I want to make that clear. Okay, just a quick announcement, a side note, I'll get back to the hurricanes and some of the activity that went on, but the NASA sending the Cassini mission, this billion-dollar satellite, into Saturn to crash it, to burn it up, so that nobody else can use it. Now, that satellite has probably another good 10 years of life in it. And I could use that satellite to disprove all of what NASA is saying about comets, about Saturn. You know, there's so much that NASA did not do with that satellite because they were interpreting all the data with their ridiculous, you know, albatross theories, albatross around the neck theories. You know, so it's a tremendous loss. The satellite was not properly used for all of that time. I was able to, take the data and show specifically how the rings of Saturn, the moons of, remember that was in 1979, I published one of my first peer-reviewed papers called Saturn Sweeper Moons Predicted. And that paper was ultimately proven absolutely correct by the Voyager, the Pioneer Voyager spacecraft back in the early 80s. And ultimately, all the moons that I predicted were found exactly where I predicted they would be found. And then NASA all of a sudden becomes the experts on sweeper moons. Well, I'm not going to reiterate that whole story, but they give it a gravitational twist. They say this is due to gravity. Well, those little moons have no gravitational field that's significant enough to affect the rings 10,000 miles away. We see these. We see electrical discharges coming down the rings of Saturn. And NASA interprets this as gravitational. You can hear, they're called zingers. You can hear them, the electrical discharges in the rings. You can hear the electrical discharges in Saturn's atmosphere, which is creating the fusion reaction, which is powering the proton wind, which gives Saturn its local electric field, just like the sun. And all of this was completely bypassed in the analysis of NASA for Cassini at Saturn. So another wasted 10 years with NASA baloney science, missing the real science that should have been done. And, well, That's what else can I say? Just a quick note, I still have the big sale, the 10% plus 5%. I took that off a while ago, but I still have some pretty nice discounts on some of the water filter supplies. I call it the red letter sale, 10% discount. And fairly shortly, we will be shipping the stainless steel kitchen standard and the traveler. So those are not ready to ship. We were retooling on the tooling to create those the stainless steel containers, but people have been ordering. They're basically getting in line, and they want those products with my water filters, which are all in one. Remember that black carbon filters do not take out arsenic or fluoride. They require you to buy an extra add-on filter. That's what my filters take out amongst a whole host of other filters. So don't be fooled into buying black carbon filters. Those add-on filters have a very short lifetime, and they don't tell you that when you buy these. Those add-on filters are very expensive, and even with that, my filters, which are all in one, are the packages are far less and the filters are far less. That's my biggest selling product, is the replacement filter elements for people that already have a filter system and they want to replace their filter elements. I sell them in 4-packs and in 10-packs, economical 10-packs, and those are 10% discounted with free shipping. So just a little note. And on my paid cast, okay, for those of you who have signed up for the paid cast, because of my life being somewhat upside down here for the last week, I did not get last week's paid cast posted. So that will be coming, and I will get this week's posted, hopefully in good order, and be back on schedule. The main topic I'm dealing with there is the science of the Colburn. And so I, as I said, was out of the country on assignment for a couple weeks doing some very interesting work. When I came back into Florida is when Irma started coming in, so I got caught up in that whole deal and lost another probably week and a half. I'm just getting somewhat back to normal now, and even now I'm still scurrying around. And besides, I'll tell you something. You can probably guess how old I am. I'm still running around like a 19-year-old kid. Going on foreign trips, going into the jungle, you know, riding horseback, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm still as mobile as I was when I was 19. So I'm in good physical condition, but I have to tone it down a little bit. I've got a lot of interviews coming up. There's a lot of demands being put on me. The book that I was going to release did not get released because of it just became a bigger project. Two factors. It became a bigger project than what I really anticipated to get the final version out. And I want it really done well when this book comes out. It's fantastic. But there again, there's just too many things trying to happen at the same time. And I have not been able to clone myself yet. So it's just me. Me, myself, and I, as they say. Thank you for your patience. That's what I'm trying to say. Thank you, everybody, for your patience and understanding that I've got a lot going on, and all of my work, this show, the paid cast, the updating the webpage. My webpage was not well updated for about a week and a half. As I traveled, as I came into Florida, as I experienced the devastation and the evacuation of Florida, and became personally a part of that whole scene and experienced it. Thank you for your patience, because I'm hard at work juggling many, many plates. And so anyway, but I appreciate the people also who understand that when you purchase something from me, that goes to support the many things that I do and my science life, etc. And by the way, when I pick scientific projects to work on, or I go out on archaeological ventures, or other things that I do, teaming up with other people. When I do this, it's because I know science. I know the history of science, of archaeology, of other areas, of other subjects. And I know what to do to get to the heart of important matters. So when I was at Cornell, just today, you know, NASA is beginning to scratch the surface of things that I did, you know, nearly 40 years ago. In fact, we're coming up to my 40-year anniversary. Maybe I should go back to Cornell at 2019 and go back there and have workshops at Cornell. Yeah, there's other people that have done that with non-GMO seed. There's a Cornell student that I was in communication with that did that. He dropped out of Cornell and started holding seminars at Cornell because he didn't like what Cornell was doing regarding GMO production and being funded by Monsanto and creating studies that verified or allegedly verified the good things that Monsanto is doing. Yeah, good old Cornell University. The scientific prostitute of the Northeast. That's the best thing I can say about Cornell. Now I want to talk a bit about the earthquakes in Mexico. Mexico had offered assistance to Texas. Now imagine this. There was actually a movie about this. I forget the movies. Maybe somebody can remind me in an email. But there was a movie in which there was a natural disaster in the United States, and of all things, Americans became refugees in Mexico. Well, oddly enough, that actually came to pass in Houston. The Mexican government said, if we can assist you in some way, let us know. And so as soon as they did that, Mexico has three, not one, not two, but three 8-point-plus earthquakes off of Chiapas, down in the Pacific Ocean, basically was offshore, but strong enough to be felt in Mexico City, hundreds of miles away. So this was a devastating blow to Mexico. But to me, very clearly in response to their offer to help in the situation with Houston. So anyway, things are getting very interesting. Now, when I was on Alex Jones this week, I was totally unaware of this. Alex says, hey, there's a movie coming out called Geostorm. And I did not know about it. What's the guy's name? Butler. What's his first name? I've seen him in some movies. He was in 300. What is that? The movie about the Greeks, the Spartans. I've seen him in a bunch of movies. I liked his acting. I like his acting. But anyway, he's the star scientist or pair of brothers. I don't know the whole plot here. But anyway, the plot of Geostorm is that the United States had developed laser satellites. Isn't that interesting? And they were doing good. They were canceling out hurricanes and stopping worldwide disaster storm activity so that the Earth did not have any further damage due to the storms. And that's what I had done. That's what I had done. And I'm thinking, oh, good, isn't it? And they show the politicians, oh, they're all there with their suits on and they're doing good. And all of a sudden, unknown international terrorist group gains control of the satellites, and they have to go find out who it is and cure it. You know, this is another Bruce Willis goes up to blow up the asteroid type of plot. You know, kind of same Hollywood scenario. But I thought, wow, this is interesting. So Alex plays the trailer and almost to completion. But I'm looking at this, and this is the first time I heard about it or saw it. And I thought, well, first of all, maybe I should be getting some royalties because this is, you know, this is my topic. This is what I did, basically, with the Russian scientists. But they show the United States, you know, Congress or whatever, as being the good guys. It's exactly the opposite. You know, the U.S. deep state government are the ones that are, you know, messing up this country. So anyway, that was very interesting to see. This movie is going to be released October 20th. But I thought, well, this is interesting. But in the trailer, it was very strange. Like, they would just shine this laser and poof, the storm would disappear. And that's not how it works, because the laser beam is going to discharge the vertical electric field from the ionosphere down to ground and enhance the storm. So anyway, they got it kind of backwards. They showed the laser, like the laser hits the storm and whoosh, all of a sudden you have a bright sunny day again. So they had their, as typical of Hollywood, the science coming out of Hollywood is all backwards, upside down. And what other movies have I seen recently that had the science? Oh, what was the one where, it was just recent. I'll think of it in a minute. Oh, I know. It was the one where they were going to go out and bomb an asteroid and make it go around Earth. And they had all the different technologies. What was that? It was another high buck Hollywood movie. Oh, no, it was that TV series. What was that called? It was Wednesday Night. I forget the name of that series, but it was a TV series, but very glossy Hollywood TV series on with major stars, etc. And I had to laugh because they said in the write-up, they said they went to Phil Plait to make sure the science was correct. I thought, Phil Plait, he's a moron. He doesn't know anything. He's an expert in 1970s textbook astronomy. He's a textbook genius, and you know, doesn't know a thing. But I thought that was rather comical. But at any rate, there was that, and remember, there was this asteroid that's supposedly still coming October. That is, the NASA says it's going to come within 4,200 miles of Earth, and they haven't seen this thing since what, 2015. I covered that on my show. So anyway, that's the other show I was just thinking of. But here they've got a movie with laser-controlled storm geomodification. And then the plot thickens in this geostorm movie where the unknown group of international terrorists get a control of this laser satellite system and start doing harm. And of course, the good guys got to go up. The American guys got to go up and save the day and get the system back under control. Well, that's the opposite of what's going on. The reason the United States would not sign the UN treaties in 2001 is because it had a clause in there that you could not use these against your own people. Now, you would think a treaty against any kind of weapon would simply imply using it against somebody else. But the anticipation was that the United States deep state was going to use it against you, the public. And that's exactly what has been happening. Katrina, Sandy, Harvey, Irma. There was a whole series of hurricanes that hit Cuba. It was a number of years ago. Four hurricanes in succession, 1 week apart, hit Cuba while they were trying to negotiate Cuba into joining the OAS, the American Organization of American States, and with none other than Hillary Clinton at the helm as when she was Secretary of State. And she failed. She was down in South America. She was at a meeting of the OAS, and she thought that she had everything set up so that Cuba would be joining. She left, and they didn't bite. Cuba is a lot smarter than that. So no matter what you think of Cuba, they're like a caged animal in a corner. They have been cornered by the banking community. So, but in spite of that, Cuba has become an international power with the best medical and dental treatment in the world. They have the highest cancer cure rate at the time, same time when the United States has just the main cause of death in adults today in the United States is cancer, outstripping heart attacks. Or heart disease, as they call it, in the United States. Now, cancer is the number one killer of people in the United States. or should I say cancer treatment? Because once people are listed with cancer, they're set into treatment, and when they die, or they're listed as dying from cancer, not the treatment. Isn't that interesting? So now, I guess you could say that the biggest cause of death in the United States is cancer treatment. That wouldn't be too far-fetched. Okay, well, back to summarizing what's going on in the world today. I see what's going on in the world. Clinton lost. If you look at CNN, interestingly enough, after Hurricane Irma failed to devastate Florida, they didn't say another word about it. They showed the Caribbean islands, the devastation there, the devastation in the Florida Keys, but they did not say a single word. Not a word did I see. Not a single time did I see the word Florida. So all of the hype, all of their maneuvering to evacuate Florida based on Hurricane Irma did not work. The Hurricane Jose has now been dragged up into the mid-Atlantic and I doubt will make any landfall at all on the North American continent. And it'll probably just fade away into history because it's very well known now amongst you, the public, and thanks to my work, and the work of other people that are also talking about this. The other thing I should quick insert here is that there are many, many disinformation websites out there that are giving misinformation about. There's one website that says hurricanes are caused by the steam coming out of nuclear reactors. Totally ridiculous. Where's the nuclear reactor in the middle Atlantic? Just stupid. So there's a lot of misinformation being pumped out there, either by complete morons or by the CIA, who's putting this planted information out there to distract the public. But CNN now is trying to promote Hillary Clinton. That, if she were president, this is what she would do. If she were there, she would do such and such. No, she would have turned the United States into Benghazi, and you'd all be shooting in the streets by now. And you would have M13 gangs running loose in the streets with 500,000 waves of 500,000 illegal immigrants coming in on her boat. Remember, they found the ISIS people in the shipping containers on the Clinton boat in, what was it, Massachusetts Harbor or wherever that was. And then they had to sell the boat because of, I'm sure they were doing illegal drugs, illegal human trafficking, whatever it took, But so that's where this is going. The deep state is still there. They lost the election. You, the American public, won the election. And they're now working underground. So Irma, Jose, Harvey, the earthquakes off of Mexico are a symptom of a group of insane people that are desperate. They're desperate people doing desperate things. And what other things they might pull to devastate areas of the United States or split it, destroy it economically and socially with FEMA and Homeland Security very much involved. There are immense groups of people. When I ran for president once, I didn't get any votes, but I don't think I ever would. But my plan was to move Washington, D.C., shut down all the agencies and start from scratch. I called it the big red reset button. And basically, all of Washington is corrupt. All of the agencies, all of the congressional, very few people in Congress have a clue of what's going on, or actually they do, but they're very corrupt people, very controlled. And so the only way to fix Washington, D.C. is simply move it. Move it to Kansas City, central United States. Rebuild all of the agencies with hardworking middle America people and rebuild this country from the inside out. I called it the big red reset button. And so now, since that hasn't been done, it has not been done, these agencies have turned into rogue agencies. We know that because of the agencies that are, for example, resisting and blocking the efforts of Judicial Watch and those agencies which are trying to get information on the unmasking of people. You know, the deep state is very much involved, and now we find out that Hillary Clinton was behind Comey getting the appointment of Mueller. You know, so she's the one that basically spearheaded that. She's the one that spearheaded the recount effort after the election. She's the one that went for that, and that failed. So it seems like everything they try to do to disrupt this country fails miserably, but they keep pulling things. These people just don't go away. They're not going to go away and, oh, gee, we lost the election. Goodbye, see you later. No. They are working underground. That's how they work. They've always worked behind the scenes and then show the pretty face up on the camera. Oh, how sweet, you know, these people are. And that fools a lot of people. So anyway, that's my view on the future, that this is going to continue. Will they continue to enhance hurricanes? I don't know. They've been very much exposed, let's put it that way. And the writing is on the wall. If they keep doing this, just like 9/11, after 9/11, there were no more major terrorist attacks with airplanes flying into building, those kind of attacks, because everybody knew their gig. They knew what the score was. At any rate, I'm about out of time here. This was meant to be an update on the last week's events and somewhat of an analysis of what might be coming in the future, but be prepared. That's all I can tell people is get ready, because have a water filter. That's all I can tell you. How many people in Florida would have done? This is something that blew my mind in Florida. They raided the stores, bought up all the water. That was the first thing to go, the water, in the bottled water. So people are out running. Well, how long is a couple gallons of water going to last you in an emergency? So anyway, I'm about out of time here. Just remember to go to the webpage, jmccsci.com. I'll be announcing more interviews coming up here as the information is available. But I still have a 10% sale on major items, water filter items, on my webpage. And also my books, etc., the paid cast, the upsales from the paid cast. You can get the ebook library set, etc., jmccsci.com. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.